ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 28 टेक्स्ट नंबर 65। बहिरिष्मने तद् अध्यात्मम् पारुक्षेण पदश्रितम् यत् परोक्ष प्रियो देवो भगवान विश्व भावनः। गॉड हैज इट। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परफेक्ट बाय श्लेषी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद। श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। माय डियर किंग प्राचीन बरही, द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हैज, द कॉज ऑफ ऑल कॉजेस, इज सेलिब्रेटेड टू बी नोन इनडायरेक्टली। दस I have described the story of Puranjana to you. Actually, it is an instruction for self-realization. Please repeat. My dear King Prachina Bharhi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, is celebrated to be known indirectly. Thus, I have described the story of Puranjana to you. Actually, it is an instruction for self-realization. Purpose. There are many similar stories in the Puranas for self-realization. As stated in the Vedas, Paroksha Priya Ivahi Devaha. There are many stories in the Puranas that are intended to interest ordinary men in transcendental subjects. But actually, these refer to real facts. They are not to be considered stories without a transcendental purpose. Some of them refer to real historical facts. One should be interested, however, in the real purport of the story. Indirect instruction is quickly understandable for a common man. Actually, the path of Bhakti Yoga is the path of hearing directly about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho. But those who are not interested in hearing directly about the activities of the Lord, or who cannot understand them, can very effectively hear such stories and fables as this one narrated by Narada Muni. The following is a glossary of some of the important words in this chapter. Actually, it's a long list, so what Srila Prabhupada will do now is, he'll speak about all the different terms, allegories used in this chapter. So we'll read one by one. Hare Krishna. So we have come to this end of this long chapter, 28th chapter, which is Puranjana becomes a woman in the next life. So today we have the 65th verse, the last verse of this chapter. So therefore, in this now Srila Prabhupada will give the glossary of the important words used in this chapter. Because as you know, this is an allegory. So Prabhupada says in the purport that sometimes indirect stories are more appealing. So therefore, the preachers in Krishna consciousness, they are very intelligent. So Narad Muni is in a very intelligent way, he told this long story of Puranjana to King Prachinabhari. And what was the intention? The intention was to somehow inspire him and persuade him to accept the path of devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada tells in his purport that the Puranas, the Vedas, they are filled with many such indirect stories. It's called Parokshavada. As in indirectly, there are so many stories and allegories, but the real purport of all the stories and allegories is what? Is to convince the conditioned souls to surrender to Krishna. That's the real purport, so Prabhupada is saying. So one who cannot understand them can very effectively hear such stories and fables as narrated by Narad Muni. Imagine if Narad Muni would have started directly speaking about the pastimes of Krishna, or you know, directly about Narasimhadev. I don't think King Puranjana would have been so much appealed or been so much captivated by the story. It wouldn't have appealed to him so much. So, but because Narad Muni presented such a wonderful story which was about the king, because King Prachinavari was also a king, so he presented in such an interesting manner so that King Prachinavari was very much affected, was fascinated by the story. And now, since he is already fascinated, he is hooked on, so now Narad Muni gives the actual import, the purport of the story. He is saying the purport of the story is that one has to surrender to Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. And in the next chapter, which is 29th chapter, talks between Narada and King Prachinabhari, Narad Muni will himself tell in detail about all the different allegories used in this chapter. He will tell what is the meaning of Puranjana, what is the meaning of the city of nine gates, etc., etc. He will explain everything in detail to King Prachinabhari. And what happens as a result? King Prachinabhari becomes a completely surrendered devotee to Krishna. So this is the result of preaching by a great devotee like Narad Muni. And Srila Prabhupada, in the same mood, now he is explaining in this purport, he will explain each and every term that has been used in this story. So let's read one by one. It's a long purport, so please bear with me. Almost 3 pages. So hear attentively. Okay. So first Srila Prabhupada explains Adesha Kari, which means the actions resulting from sinful activities. Then second one, Agastya, the mind. Amatya, the governor of the senses, the mind. Arbuda, Arbuda, various types of Shravana and Kirtana of the Supreme Lord's name, quality, form and so on. Ari, impediments like disease. Bhoga, enjoyment. Herein, the word refers to the real enjoyment in spiritual life. Bhritya, the servants of the body, namely the senses. Dravida, Raja, devotional service or a person eligible to act in devotional service. Dwara, the doors of the body, such as the eyes and ears. Griha, home. For spiritual cultivation, one requires an undisturbed place or the good association of devotees. So you can see, Prabhupada goes on explaining each and every term. For some of you who have been hearing this pastime regularly, you must have come across all these different terms, right? Agastya, he is the son of King Maladhvaja. So Agastya refers to mind. Similarly, Amatya, the governor who was there, he is the governor of the senses and mind. Bhritya, King Puranjana, he had several servants. So the servants are what? The senses. So similarly, next term, Idma Vaha, the devotee who appears the spiritual master. Right? Idma refers to wood that is taken to burn as fuel for fire. A brahmachari is supposed to take this idma to ignite the fire used in performing sacrifices. By spiritual instruction, a brahmachari is trained to ignite a fire and offer oblations in the morning. He is supposed to go to the spiritual master to take lessons on transcendental subject matter. And the Vedic injunction is that when approaching the spiritual master, one must carry with him fuel to perform yajnas or sacrifices. The exact Vedic injunction is as follows. Tad vijnanartham sa gurum eva vigachet samit pane shrotriyam brahmanistham. To learn transcendental subject matter, one must approach the spiritual master. In doing so, he should carry fuel to burn in sacrifice. The symptom of such a spiritual master is that he is expert in understanding the Vedic conclusion. And therefore, he constantly engages in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manduka Upanishad 1.2.12. By serving such a bona fide spiritual master, Shri Gaur Nithai Krishna Balaram Radha Shyam Sundar Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, Idma, Prabhupada is explaining Idma Vaha. The term Idma Vaha refers to what? A disciple, a sincere disciple. And Idma refers to the wood that he has to carry. So a sincere disciple is one who serves his spiritual master by carrying the wood for sacrifice. Please hear attentively. By serving such a bona fide spiritual master, gradually a conditioned soul becomes detached from material enjoyment and invariably makes progress in spiritual realization under the direction of the spiritual master. Those who are misled by the illusory energy are never interested in approaching a spiritual master to make life successful. Then Jaya means intelligence. Jinna Sarpa, the fatigued air of life. Kalakanya, the invalidity of old age. Kama, a rich fever. Kulachala, the place where there is no disturbance. Kutumbini, intelligence. Madhurekshena. Okay. So now, you all know, I'll just quickly revise the story a little bit. You all know that King Puranjana, he was trying to enjoy his senses. He went out for hunting. Then he came back to his palace. Then what happened? Kalakanya attacked. Or Yavanas actually. Yavana is the servant of Yamaraj. So Yavana attacked his city and along with his servants and followers, and especially Kalakanya. So Kalakanya refers to old age and Yavana refers to the representative of Yamaraj. So this is the story of each and every living entity in this material world. Because every living entity in this material world, what is he trying to do? He is trying to enjoy his senses in this material world. But very soon what happens? He is attacked by old age and ultimately death. So this is what the different terms are used in this. Okay, Madirekshena, and then the same Puranjana, when he died, in the next life he became woman of the name Vedarbhi, and she was married to Maladhvaja. So in here, and Maladhvaja was a great devotee of the Lord. So here Maladhvaja is referring to a nice devotee of the Lord, the spiritual master. So when the living entity comes in touch with the spiritual master or devotees of the Lord, then he begins the process of devotional service. So another term which was used is Madirekshana. This was used to describe the beauty of Vaidarbhi. When Puranjana became a woman in the next life, she was very beautiful. And to describe her, the word Madirekshana is used. Srila Prabhupada will give a nice explanation of the word Madirekshana. Madirekshana refers to one whose eyes are so attractive that one who observes them becomes maddened by her. In other words, Madirekshana means a very beautiful young girl. According to Jiva Goswami, Madirekshana means the personified deity of bhakti. If one attracted bhakti cult, he becomes engaged in the service of the Lord and the spiritual master, and thus his life becomes successful. Vaidarbhi, the woman became a follower of her husband. As she left her comfortable home for the service of her husband, a serious student of spiritual understanding must give up everything for the service of the spiritual master. As stated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasadah. If one wants actual success in life, he must strictly follow the instructions of the spiritual master. By following such instructions, one is sure to make rapid progress in spiritual life. This statement by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is in pursuance by the following injunction from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Yasya Deve Parabhakti Yatha Deve Thaguru Tasseva Kathitayartha Prakashante Mahatmanaha. This is a very, very important verse. The translation is as follows. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. In the Chandogya Upanishad, it is said, Acharya Van Purusho Veda. One who approaches the bona fide spiritual master can understand everything about spiritual realization. So very important. So here Srila Prabhupada is explaining that how Madirekshana, that means one who has attractive eyes. So in this world generally we are attracted by what? Beauty of woman. So the only way to counteract that is when we become attracted by the beautiful process of devotional service or by the beautiful form of the Supreme Lord. That's the only way. Otherwise there is no possibility. We can't resist ourselves from the attraction of this material world. Unless we have higher taste, we cannot give up lower taste. So it's very important here to understand that we must become attracted by the Supreme Lord's duty and by the beautiful process of devotional service. You all know in this connection the story of Dhanurdasa in connection with Ramanujacharya. I'm sure you all must have heard about that story, but I'll just repeat it in brief. You all know that that Ramanujacharya used to stay in Srirangam. And he used to conduct great festivals with the deities of Ranganathji, Utsav Vigraha. So on one such occasion, a great procession was going and there were many musicians and shlokas were being chanted to glorify the Lord. It was a huge procession. Imagine, you know, if a procession passes by, naturally we all become attracted by it. We want to see what is happening, who is going. So similarly, when this beautiful procession of the Lord was going through the city of Srirangam, everybody was attracted by the procession. They all went to have darshan of the beautiful form of the Lord, except for one person. What he was doing? He was carrying an umbrella over his girlfriend. Imagine, there's a beautiful lady and this person, he was carrying an umbrella over her head and he was constantly looking at her, constantly. Imagine everybody, you know, just imagine the situation. Lord is going, everybody is following the Lord, but one person is constantly looking at the beautiful form of a woman and carrying his umbrella. And people are laughing at him, people are criticizing him, but he's so much absorbed in serving that lady, in the beauty of that lady, that he was not at all bothered. So naturally everyone was making fun. But Ramanujacharya, when he saw, he was not laughing. What? He was almost crying. He had that compassion, that spirit of compassion within him, just made him overwhelmed. He said, look at this, you know, how unfortunate. The Supreme Lord, he is passing by, and this ignorant person, instead of being attracted by the Supreme Lord, he is attracted to the mundane beauty of this lady. So he really felt compassionate within his heart. And then he instructed one of his followers, that you please go and call that person to meet me. So then one of his disciples went, and he shouted, Mr. Hello, Mr. Please hear to me. But he was so much attracted, he couldn't even hear. So I think probably he would have shaken him and said, listen to me. Then the person and the disciple of Ramanujacharya told him that our Acharya, the great Ramanujacharya, wants to meet you. So please come to meet him. So then that person went and met Ramanujacharya. Then Ramanujacharya asked him that, my dear friend, what is this? How you are so much captivated by this lady that you are oblivious completely to the external surroundings? People are laughing at you, people are making fun of you. You don't feel bad? Then this person replied that, what to do, you know? I am so much intoxicated, I am so much captivated by this beauty of this woman, especially her two eyes, that I just don't care about anything. I am fully immersed in drinking the nectar of those two eyes. Then Ramanujacharya said that if I show you something more beautiful than these pair of eyes, will you be attracted to that person? Then he said, yes, but I am sure, I guarantee you, in this entire creation, you can never find a pair of eyes more beautiful than my girlfriend's eyes. Then Ramanujacharya said, okay, you please come in the evening today. And the person went back, and again he took the umbrella and again started looking at the form of that lady. And then in the evening this person came, and Ramanujacharya specially called him in the evening when Aarti was just about to begin, the Sandhya Aarti. So this person came, and Ramanujacharya took him to the temple of Sri Ranganathji in Sri Rangam. And that time the Aarti was just about to begin. Imagine, those days there was no electricity. So you could have very beautiful darshan when Aarti was going on, when the lamp was shown. So gradually the pujari, he showed lamp to the lotus feet of the Lord, to the body of the Lord, and then to the beautiful face of the Lord. And as soon as the person saw the beautiful face of the Lord, the beautiful eyes of Sri Ranganathji, his heart was captivated. And then after the Aarti, he told Ramanujacharya that he fell at his lotus feet and said that, I am so grateful to you that you have shown me the real beauty of Lord. I was so ignorant, I was after the temporary beauty of so-called of a woman in this world. So I am very grateful to you. Actually, what transformed him? I am sure he must have also had darshan of the deities before. But it's the prayers by Ramanujacharya, his compassionate heart, which actually transformed this person. And his name was Dhanurdas, and later he became one of the greatest disciples of Ramanujacharya. And the lady by whom he was so much attracted, she also became a great disciple of Ramanujacharya. So as grihasthas, they served Ramanujacharya very sincerely and very dedicated. In fact, he became such a great devotee, it is said that Ramanujacharya, after taking bath, he should take help, he should put his hands around that devotee, Dhanurdas, and come back. He had so many great sannyasi disciples, but no, he was resting his arms upon the shoulders of Dhanurdas. So we can see here that how only if you are captivated by the real beauty of the Lord, by his beauty, by the beautiful process of devotion service, only then can we give up this attraction to the so-called beauty of this world. Otherwise we cannot. Theoretically we may understand that this world is temporary, that is not the real beauty. But when the real time comes, when the time of test will come, we cannot resist ourselves. But only if we have the higher taste in devotion service, then we can very easily give up this attractions in this material world, especially the attraction of women. So we'll go on. Then Prabhupada explains Malayadhvaja. Malayadhvaja means nice devotee who is like sandalwood. Panchala, the five sense objects. Parichchada, total aggregate of the senses. Paurajana, the seven elements that constitute the body. Pautra, patience and gravity. Prajwara, a kind of fever called Vishnujwara. This Prajwara is a heavy fever which comes before death. Prabhupada says 107 degrees Fahrenheit. And once one reaches this temperature, he is sure to die. Then, Pratikriya, counteracting agents such as mantra and medicines. Then, Purapalaka, the life air. Putra, consciousness. Sainika, the condition of the threefold miseries. Saptasuta, the seven sons, namely, hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping the deity and becoming a servant of the Lord. So what happened when Puranjana became a lady in the next life? His name was Vedarbhi and she married to Maladhwaja. And then they gave birth to seven sons and the seven sons are actually the seven processes of devotional service. Now you may ask the question that generally we hear how many processes are there? Nine. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. Why here seven is being talked about? Because the last two are not mentioned. Which are the last two? Sakhyam and Atma Nivedanam. Because those are very advanced stages. Sakhyam and Atma Nivedanam. So the basic first seven stages are, or the first seven types of devotional service are mentioned. Which is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam. That's all, these seven. Sakhyam, Atma Nivedanam are not mentioned. Because when we do the seven properly, then we can come to the other two, which is completely giving up ourselves to Krishna and becoming a friend of Krishna. This also Prabhupada says in the previous purport that this last two refers to higher stages of bhakti, raga bhakti, where one has spontaneous attachment for Krishna. Okay. Then Sauridya, endeavor, Suta, the son of Vedarthi, or in other words, one who is somewhat advanced in fruitive activities, and who comes in contact with a devotee spiritual master. Such a person becomes interested in the subject matter of devotional service. And Vaidarbhi, who is Vaidarbhi? The woman who was formerly a man but took birth as a woman in the next life because of too much attachment to women. Darbha means Kushagras. In fruitive activities of karma kandya ceremonies, one requires Kushagras. Thus, Vaidarbhi refers to one who takes birth in the family of karma kandya understanding. However, if by karma kanda activities one by chance comes in contact with a devotee, as Vaidarbhi did when she married Maladhwaja, his life becomes successful. He then pursues the devotional service of the Lord. The conditioned soul becomes liberated simply by following the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. Vidarbha Rajasimha, the best of persons who are expert in intuitive activities. Virya, one who has mercy. And the last word, guess what is this? Yavana, the servant of Yamaraj. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the 4th canto, 28th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled, Puranjana becomes a woman in the next life. So good, it's a long purpose, so I don't have to speak much, but still, I'll just elaborate a little bit more. So it's very important, the last thing, that who is actually this whole story of Puranjana. Actually it's not the story of only King Prachinbari, but it's the story of each one of us. Each one of the living entities in this material world are simply trying to enjoy in this material world, taking one body after another. We all have passed through different kinds of bodies, sometimes as insects, animals, birds, human beings, among human beings, sometimes as man, sometimes as woman. Sometimes as a king, as a beggar. So we have gone through all the different types of bodies. And the process will continue. Why? What is the basic root cause? We all trying to enjoy in this material world. So one may ask the question, so what is that which actually breaks this cycle? What is that crucial thing which actually puts a full stop to this continuously changing bodies and trying to enjoy in this material world? What is a turning point in one's life? This we can see from Srila Prabhupada's purport that when one meets the devotees of the Lord, specifically when one meets the spiritual master. And that has also been explained very nicely by whom? By Lord Chaitanya in his instructions to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. To Rupa Goswami he says, ब्रह्मांड भ्रमिते कोन भाग्यवान जीव गुरु कृष्ण कृपा पाए भक्तिलता बीज एंड हिज इंस्ट्रक्शंस ऑफ सनातन गोस्वामी ऑल्सो ब्यूटिफुली एक्सप्लेन दिस टॉपिक एक्चुअली आई जस्ट रीड फ्यू सेक्शंस फ्रॉम दैट दी इंस्ट्रक्शंस टू सनातन गोस्वामी कॉल्ड सनातन शिक्षा एक्चुअली इट्स अ वेरी वेरी वंडरफुल सेक्शन ऑफ चैतन्य चैतामृत सो आई रिक्वेस्ट दैट डिवोटीज मे प्लीज रीड दैट इट्स अ वंडरफुल सेक्शन where Mahaprabhu, he starts with very basic. As all of you know, that how does he start his instruction? He says, Jivara Swarup Hai Krishnera Nityadas. He talks that Jiva, the soul, is actually what? Krishna's eternal servant. That is the Swarupa of every living entity. To be Krishna's eternal servant. But somehow, he tries to enjoy in this material world, because of which he is entangled in this material world. And then he goes on to explain many other topics, like who is Krishna, how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the beauty of Krishna, different qualities of Krishna. And then in 22nd chapter, he is talking about the process of devotional service. So I'll just read a few verses from this chapter, very beautiful chapter. So as you know, that the entire teachings of the Vedas can be categorized into three categories, Sambandha Gyan, Abhideya Gyan and Prayojana. So Mahaprabhu has already talked about Sambandha Gyan, telling that we are all servants of Krishna. And in this chapter he'll talk about the Abhideya Gyan, that is how to render devotional service. So let's read a few verses from this chapter. The first verse of this chapter is Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Tam Karunarnavam Kalavapi Ati Gudheyam Bhaktir Yena Prakashita. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is an ocean of transcendental mercy, and although the subject matter of Bhakti Yoga is very confidential, he has nonetheless manifested it so nicely, even in the age of Kali, the age of quarrel. So actually, we have to really think about this point, that actually in this age of Kali, we are not qualified to render devotional service. It's the most, I mean, the worst of all the ages, but just see the magnanimity of Lord Chaitanya, that he is preaching this process of Bhakti Yoga in this most fallen age of Kali. So then Mahaprabhu says, I have described one's relationship with Krishna in various ways. This is the subject matter of all the Vedas. Krishna is the center of all activities. Now I shall speak about the characteristics of devotional service by which one can attain the shelter of Krishna and his loving transcendental service. Krishna bhakti abhideya sarva shastra koi ateva muni gana kariyachi nishchay. A human being's activity should be centered only on devotional service to Lord Krishna. That is the verdict of all Vedic literatures, and all saintly people have firmly concluded this. So as the Prabhupada told in this purport, that what is the purpose of this story of Puranjana? To direct all the living entities for performing devotional service. In fact, this is the center of all the Vedic scriptures, right? To perform devotional service to Krishna. That's the purpose of each and every sloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, each and every verse of Bhagavad Gita. In fact, each and every verse of the entire Vedic literature is meant to bring the conditioned living entities to this point of surrendering to Krishna. Some of them they do indirectly, like Parokshavada, like we saw the story of Puranjana, whereas in some verses they directly tell about Krishna consciousness. Okay. So then Maha goes on, says that there are two kinds of living entities, right? Who are they? Nitya Baddha and Nitya Mukta. So the Nitya Muktas, they are eternally rendering devotional service to Krishna. They are never captivated by material energy, right? Because they are eternally enjoying the transcendental bliss of serving Krishna. But in other hand, we have these Nitya Baddhas. These Nitya Baddhas, they always turn away from the service of the Lord. They are perpetually conditioned in this material world and are subjected to the material tribulations brought about by different bodily forms in hellish conditions. So what are the two categories? Nitya Baddha and Nitya Mukta. And most of us are in the category of Nitya Baddha. Maybe some of you could be Nitya Muktas, but most of the people in this material world, we are in the category of Nitya further. So he says, Sei doshe maya pisachi danda kare tare, adhyatmikadi tapatraya tare jari mare. Due to his being opposed to Krishna consciousness, who's being opposed? The Nityabaddha, all of us. The conditioned soul is punished by the witch of external energy, maya. He is thus ready to suffer the threefold miseries. Miseries brought about by the body and mind, the inimical behavior of other living entities, and natural disturbances caused by the demigods. Kama krodhira dasahaya, tara lathi khaya, bhramite bhramite yadi sadhu vaidyapaya, tara upadesha mantre pishachi palaya, krishna bhakti paya tave krishna nikata yaya. Very important, please hear carefully. It says, kama krodhira dasahaya, tara lathi khaya. So what we are all doing? By becoming the servants of the lusty desires, we are being kicked by maya. Lathi means the whipping stick, rod. So we are all being kicked by maya. Wandering and wandering throughout the universes. So in this way, we are trying to serve our senses, but we are getting more and more kicked by maya. So wandering and wandering throughout the universe, he may by chance get the association of a devotee physician whose instructions and hymns makes the witch of external energy flee. The conditioned soul thus gets into touch with devotional service to Lord Krishna, and in this way he can approach nearer and nearer to the Lord. So this is what is a turning point. When by chance or by good fortune he meets the devotees of the Lord, the devotees are compared to physicians, doctors. Or sometimes there are people who are expert in removing the witch. If somebody is attacked by ghost, there are exorcists who can remove the ghost. So the spiritual master, the devotees are like that. They remove the witch of maya. And the conditioned soul then starts rendering devotional service to Krishna. And then this beautiful verse, very very beautiful verse. Kama dinam katina katidha palita durnideshas tesham jatamaina karuna na tripa no pashantihi utsri jaitan athayadupate sampratam labdha buddhe svam ayata sharanam abhayam mam niyung swatma dasye. I'll just read the translation. Very beautiful verse. O my Lord, there is no limit to the unwanted orders of my lusty desires. Although I have rendered these desires so much service, they have not shown any mercy to me. I have not been ashamed to serve them, nor have I been even desired to give them up. O my Lord. So what is he praying? A devotee prays to the Lord. He is saying, O my Lord, there is no limit to my unwanted material desires. For so long I have been trying to serve my lusty desires. But although I have rendered so much service to all my senses, to the desires, but they have not shown any mercy to me. That means they are never satisfied. No matter how much you want to serve the senses, they can never be satisfied. They will always say, oh, not this enough. Serve me more, serve me more. Right? And then he's saying, I have not been ashamed to serve them. Right? I am so shameless that still I am continuing to serve them. And nor have I even desired to give them up. Then he's praying, O my Lord, O head of the Yadu dynasty, recently, however, my intelligence has been awakened. By what? By coming in touch with the devotees, spiritual master. And now I am giving them up. Due to transcendental intelligence, I now refuse to obey the unwanted orders of these desires. And I now come to you to surrender myself at your fearless lotus feet. Kindly engage me in your personal service and save me. Such a beautiful prayer. So although we meet the spiritual master, by all good fortune we have come in touch with Srila Prabhupada and his followers, but the process doesn't end there. Rather the process begins. So then we should pray like this to Krishna. That, O my Lord, for so long I have been trying to serve the senses, even now I have been pulled by my senses, but I take a firm resolve that I will no longer serve my senses. I only want to serve you. I want to surrender to you. So kindly engage me in your loving service. And Srila Prabhupada gives a very short and very beautiful purport. He says that when we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we are saying, Hare, O energy of the Lord, O my Lord Krishna. In this way, we are simply addressing the Lord and His spiritual potency, represented as Radha Krishna, Sita Ram or Lakshmi Narayan. The devotee always prays to the Lord and His internal potency, so that he may be engaged in their transcendental loving service. When the conditioned soul attains his real spiritual energy and fully surrenders onto the Lord's lotus feet, he tries to engage in the Lord's service. This is the real constitutional position of the living entity. So this is what, I'll just end here with this point, that how this is, you can say, it's a real turning point. The essence, this is when the real devotional service starts. When we are convinced of this fact that enough of this material life. I have been trying to satisfy my senses for millions of lives. I have been trying to satisfy my relatives and everybody, but they are never satisfied. The senses are never satisfied. Rather, they give us more and more trouble. So now, by good fortune, I have come in touch with devotees. So now, henceforward, I will no longer serve my senses. I will only try to serve Krishna. And in this mood, one chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, that O Lord, O energy of the Lord, O Radha, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. And in this way, if you pray to the Lord, then actually Krishna will give us the strength to resist the material desires and to actually serve Him. Because it's only Krishna who can actually engage us in His service. But we have to pray to Krishna for that. That O Krishna, please engage me in your service, and definitely Krishna will engage us in His service. Because Krishna is obviously eager to take us all back to His lotus feet. So therefore, Krishna is just waiting that when will we come to this point? When will we pray to Him that Krishna, please engage me in your service? The moment we pray like that, Krishna is very eager to engage us in His service. And another beautiful verse that Mahaprabhu quotes in this connection is from Ramayana. You all must be knowing that famous pastime when Vibhishan comes to take shelter of Lord Ram. So all the different asuras, what they say? They are a little worried. They are thinking that maybe Vibhishan is a demon, maybe he'll kill all of us, or he is a spy of Ravana. But that time, Lord Ramachandra, he says this beautiful verse. He says, Sakrit eva prapannoyam tavasmi iti chayate abhayam sarvada tasmi dadati dadami etam brahmama. It is my vow. Who is saying this? Lord Ram is saying that if one only seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my Lord, from this day I am yours, and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. So this is what we should all pray. We have the beautiful deities of Gaurantai, Krishna Balram, Sri Lalita Vishaka Radha Shyam Sundar, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his wonderful devotees. So all we have to do is come before them, pay our obeisances and pray to them that, my dear Lord, I have been serving my senses for so long, but now onwards I only want to serve you. Please accept me. I am yours. Tavasmi cha yachati. So just we have to say to Krishna, I am yours, and that's all. And then Krishna will take care of the rest. He will engage us in His service. Thank you. So any questions, any comments? Please, if you have any, please. So, I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas that I may also similarly pray to Krishna to put a full stop to the material life and take up to the process of Krishna consciousness. Thank you. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Granthashrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samyukta Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai.